I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 34. The real-time racing Acura TLX GT cars from 2016. The number 34 car driven by Spencer Pompelli at Monterey at Laguna Seca. So he was standing in, well, he was helping him drive. He was helping him develop that car. So they, pretty cool. Those cars were fun. Four doors. Fun things. So, four doors. Yeah. Look at it. Had a bit of success as Ryan Eversley, I think, won the championship in that car. They were all-wheel drive, too.
All-wheel drive. With, 2016. Wait, four-door? Really?
Yeah, the TLX. It was the boxy sedan before they moved to the NSX.
Yeah. I don't remember it being. No. The actual race car wasn't a. Was it a four door?
It had four doors.
Hold on. Let me
pull that up.
Open. That's what I'm doing right now.
I'm looking at it right now. I can see four doors on it.
Son of a bitch.
There you go.
Those were cool cars, though.
They were cool cars. All right. On this week's episode, we'll talk of a plethora of things. NASCAR at the track Too Tough to Tame, the Lady in Black, Darlington. It was also the regular season finale.
Yeah, because after the regular season is over, we keep on racing.
Right. We keep on racing. But for those of you outside the mythical cutoff, you can just show up. You can still win races, but you're not going to run for the season points. We'll talk IndyCar, doubleheader, Milwaukee, or Milwaukee, as they say. An intriguing weekend, to say the least, from the mile.
Yeah.
Did they call it the Magic Mile? They call it the Milwaukee Mile.
The Milwaukee Mile. Maybe not the...
There we go.
No. The Magic... No, I'm getting that mixed up with the Monster Mile. That's Dover.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we'll talk that. One race left in the IndyCar season after this. Next weekend, this coming weekend, actually.
Not this coming. Next weekend, they got a week.
They got a week off, and then we go.
It's the 15th. We
have to avoid the NFL opener, right?
Yeah, pretty much that. Gotcha. I mean, outside of that, like, just to really fast forward, like, there's only one race that I have on my calendar, and I'm sure NASCAR's got a race too, but. MotoGP is racing at Misano this weekend. Otherwise, IndyCar, F1, IMSA, WC, they're all off. So
NASCAR's not.
NASCAR's not. You can, watch that.
Oh, yeah. The playoffs started at Atlanta. And then we'll talk Formula One from the Temple of Speed, Monza. An intriguing race, to say the least.
There was some good storylines from all three series there.
Yeah. Did not see the Formula 2 nor Formula 3 races, but anyways. And then we will talk WEC from COTA with an upset there.
Didn't put a foot wrong. Nope.
And unfortunately... Yeah, anyways. And then we'll news and notes, lots of news, lots of notes. And then we got a slow weekend coming up. So
yeah.
Anyways. All right. So we don't have no picks this weekend.
Nope, just all recaps.
Seeming Nate would NASCAR races, but
we're not doing that.
No. All right, so let's just talk real quick on the NASCAR side of the fence here. Darlington, Chase Briscoe with the win, and he qualifies.
Mm-hmm. Legit.
Legit, nudging out Kurt Busch, and then followed by Christopher Bell, and then Kyle Larson, who dominated the race. So up until the end. That's about it.
Yeah.
But it came down to a 10-lap battle between Briscoe and Busch, with Briscoe eking out the win. Mm. So, only other notable event from the race was Tyler Reddick drove with an entire – I don't know how he did this race, but somehow managed it with a stomach virus. So I have no idea. It was awful. Yeah. But anyways, quite graphic from his recounts back to the pit wall. But I will not delve into that. But he finished the race, so congrats to him.
I don't know if he was trying to impress Jordan for a sick
Jordan. Now this is where it
performance,
gets,
but
this is where it gets weird. So by finishing where he did nudge Larson for the season championship.
Right. Yeah.
But but NASCAR in their infinite wisdom, he's not the top seeded driver in the playoff.
No.
Nor is he the second top seeded driver.
No, he's not, because does he have a win? Yeah, he's got a win, right?
Hold on. I'm checking. Oh God, I'm on the standings page.
I know. You gotta sort. No, he doesn't have a win.
He doesn't have a win.
So he won NASCAR with
No. Sorry. Reddick has two wins.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
All right. Problem is
Larson's got four.
Larson's got four. And that's the number of stage wins.
Well, there's stage wins, bonus points, whatever.
Right.
However they do that crap.
Yeah, it's a friggin' mess. I mean, honestly, it really is. Somebody like Denny Hamlin has 233 stage point wins. I don't know, stage points. But he's sixth.
That matters. All that matters. Yep. If you win, you're in, except for
Larson. Right. That's all it is. Yep. So Larson starts off the season, starts off the playoffs with an 8-point advantage. Well, between, let's see. So the last guy to qualify, which thank God, Martin Truex and Ty Gibbs both qualified. So they were 15th and 16th.
Yeah.
They have 2,004 points somehow, miraculously. Mm-hmm. And Larson starts with 2,040.
Okay.
Via some kind of computation and so forth. Whatever. Anyways, so cumulative points. Regular season. This is just, I know. Can't even. Don't even know. All right. Enough of that. All right. They'll start the playoff at Atlanta next week.
Yeah.
I can only hope that Kyle Busch goes on a tear and, like, wins every race. Like, him and Chastain just start winning races. That would be good.
Well, now so. It's – now the motto is not win and get the championship. It's just actual points and you can win the championship. So it doesn't even matter who wins anymore. Well, sort of.
So we'll see what happens, but anyways,
yeah.
Let's just get ready for my head to explode as I try and keep track of this. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
or don't.
All right, let's move on to IndyCar.
Yes.
In Milwaukee, qualifying dominated by the Penske cars, got pole in both races. Joseph Newgarden in race one, Scott McLaughlin in race two. Will Power was hanging around in the top 10 in both races from qualifying. Race one, was wild to say the least on Saturday. It was a race into the evening. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
No lights. So they had to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a clock in case they didn't, but, it was wild to say the least.
Like Pato O'Ward. Wild in a good way.
in a good way. Lots of passing, which was awesome. Which I don't know if people were I was expecting that. I hate to say it. I don't know what people weren't expecting.
My worry was that it wasn't going to be as multi-lane as it was.
Right.
But it actually turned out really well. So
now they did on it. I think they got somewhere between 20,000 and 25,000 people per race, I believe.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty good. Now, they were complaining about that, like, you know. But here's the harsh reality. It's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people in the upper Midwest head to the lakes and do stuff. But also, Labor Day weekend is the start of college football.
Yeah.
And in the Milwaukee area, and from there throughout the Midwest, the Big Ten starts. So, I assume a good amount of fans are football fans as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a bunch of people probably went and took their dollars and went to those games over the weekend. Just one thing. But it's a tough weekend to, you know, do that.
I was going to say, I mean, like, just Labor Day weekend in general, it's, yeah, depending on where you go to, where you are in the country, where school starts, right, you know, it's like it's the last weekend before, you know, summer, yeah, ends and everything, yeah, moves into the...
This race really needs to be right behind Indianapolis. That's my opinion. That's just, you know, from a scheduling perspective. Yeah. But anyways. Yep. But it did put on a great race. As I said, Pato O'Ward charged to the lead and to the win. So good for him.
I wouldn't necessarily say charged. I think he had very good pace to keep it up in the front, but they got some strategy calls and luck of some cautions when they fell to go their way and be in the right place at the right time, which was very good for them.
And Willpower, I thought Willpower just basically hung around.
Yes. You know, yeah.
You know, so he was there. He could have got the win, but I think Pato outdrove him. All right, let's I'll take charge, and I'll say charge. Charge his way to third place, though, Connor Daly.
Oh, God, yeah. He...
And him and Colton Herter effectively used the outside lane,
yeah,
throughout the race.
Yep.
I think Santino did, too, but I'm not 100% certain because you know, for some reason, every time when I was watching it, it was like they kept flashing to Santino, but then it was going to Colton and Connor on the high side. So I can't really figure out. But Connor outdueled Santino for third place in the podium.
Yeah, and Connor was flying too.
Definitely.
Yeah. If there was driver of the day, like that is him.
Yep. And then the cartoon anvil hit him, as Marshall Pruitt says.
Yeah.
And he had had a electrical issue in the pit, which is they still don't know what caused it.
And this is on race two.
Race one. Sorry.
But the anvil hit on race two.
The anvil hit on race two. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because race one got the podium, him and Yunkos were celebrating and got themselves some pretty good points for
the leaders cup
leaders trophy.
So the $1 million bonus.
So yeah, so really good job from him. And it was really awesome just watching him because it outside of the Penske cars, Daly was flying.
Yep.
And like 100% agree. Consistently moving forward. So it was something that I think everyone was keen to watch of how he would do on Sunday, but like you said, electrical gremlins hit him, but he wasn't alone in that. There were a bunch of other cars that were having issues for the second race, and namely Alex Palou.
Yep. But in race one, Palou salvaged himself with a fifth place finish.
Yes.
So
yep.
So again, survived to drive for the. That's how I talk. Palou.
Yeah.
After unfortunately,
after race one, it looked like Pelot just, you know, is putting more final touches on the championship run, and it's, you know, it's all sealed up pretty much, and he's doing his thing. But like we were saying, race two did not go his way.
Just after halfway, Newgarden and Ericsson got into it, and both went out of the race into the wall. So, So our pole did not do well in that race.
In race
one, Newgarden had the pole in race one.
Hold on, I think we're confusing people. We're bouncing back and forth between race one.
We're in race one.
Still in race one.
But the electrical issues were popping up all over the place in both one and two.
Oh, I didn't see too many issues in race one.
There was a couple, apparently. During pit stops, there were issues, but it wasn't as pronounced and didn't have its impact until the next day.
Sorry, so then I'm jumping ahead. Sorry.
So Pato got the win.
Yep.
Power, Daly, Ferrucci, Palou, Linus Lindqvist, Alexander Rossi, Scott McLaughlin, Christian Lundgaard, and Scott Dixon round out your top 10.
Yeah.
Race two, run the next day. Mm-hmm. Different conditions as it was run earlier in the day.
Yeah.
This time, Scott McLaughlin was your pole sitter.
Yes,
he was. And as we come to the green flag, Jay New gets taken out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting incident.
Bizarro.
I don't know if he didn't go or there was an issue with his car. Jay New started on pole for race two.
Right. Oh, did he? Yeah. McLaughlin was one.
McLaughlin was two. He was on the outside.
Yeah. Okay. But he was on pole in race one, right?
Yes. Yeah, McLaughlin had pole for race one, Newgarden pole for race two.
All right. So Jay New got taken out. Mm-hmm. Didn't even get to the finish, and he was done. So, no, it was a bad weekend for Jay New.
Yeah.
So, that point then...
Before we even reached that point, Pelot had problems.
Yeah.
Coming out of the pits.
Pelot had problems coming out of the pits. He had the electrical issue that impacted Colton Herter on the pit stop on Saturday.
Yes.
And the car wouldn't go, so brought it, got it back... They fixed it a knot. Like, they got it going, but I think it was down 25 laps or so.
Yeah, so...
And
he was just looking to scrap for points and...
Points, yeah.
Try and limit at any that damage point,
that's,
at anything
yeah,
possible.
That's all he could do.
Mm-hmm.
Which, unfortunately...
And probably...
He finished ninth. About the 19th.
Yeah, yeah, which...
29 laps down.
Yeah, I mean, after... being 27th before Newgarden got taken out.
Yeah.
I mean, another seven guys fell foul to mechanical issues or crashes throughout the race. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And then if he was out there for a couple more laps, almost would have had two more positions.
Yeah.
So... good recovery by them and playing the points game, and also I'm sure they use it as a really good shakedown for Nashville too, to make sure nothing's wrong for that.
No. Unfortunately, our race one winner, Pato O'Ward, went out just before, about 88 laps into the race. Engine issue. He was not in a good mood. I can definitely say that. Saw that interview. That was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Then we obviously noted Pelot's thing, and then we had Connor Daly had an issue, so he was out.
Yeah.
So that was tough. So couldn't, and that really, I mean, it's a good thing he had a good day on Saturday.
Yes.
And Grosjean sort of had a good day on Sunday for the Yonkos team, but. Yeah, that was too bad.
Yeah. It was unfortunate for Connor, too. I mean, he came into the pits, and then they dropped the car, and he just couldn't go. He was it seemed like some electrical issue trying to get the car into gear.
And then Will Power just he fell victim to the yellow flags and things like that.
In race two?
Yeah, race two. He had a spin, and then they were fighting back. And
no, Will Power fell victim to his own right foot. he even said it at the end of the race too. He's like, God gave us a gift with Pelo being having issues on today and like being pretty much out of the race, and then he was leading or at least running second for most of the race, and then they come out of the pits, and then yeah, he's back a couple spots, but you know, like, plenty of time left in the race. Strong car, they'll make it up and get through, and nope, loops it on a restart, then lightly taps the wall.
Yeah,
and so then the team brings him back in, puts new tires on, and then they bring him in again. This it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because visually it didn't look like his wing had any damage.
And but they changed it.
Yeah, so but what they brought him in a second time to change the wing, and when they did that, then they went a lap down. So they trapped themselves for pretty much the remainder of the race.
Yeah.
And like the highest he was going to get was 11th at that point, being a lap down. But then the way the cautions went later on in the race, he ended up getting back onto the lead lap, but didn't make any progress because it was just too late.
Yeah.
So.
Missed a consistency. Well, two drivers that were consistent, Rossi and Ferrucci. Ferrucci finished exactly where he did in race one. Rossi improved from seventh to sixth. Marcus Ericsson made up for a bad day on Saturday with a fifth place finish. Kyle Kirkwood made up for a bad day on Saturday with an eighth place finish. So Team Andretti bounced back with a third, a fifth, and an eighth.
Yeah.
The top three, though, were Dixon mounted a charge.
Well, because interestingly enough, on the last restart, Rossi was second.
Yeah,
and he just
he just trailed backwards. So I don't know if it was tires or what, but he went backwards. Dixon and Herta went forward. McLaughlin just was able to get through traffic, you know, that much better. And simply that was it. I mean, Dixon put a move on Herta to get second, and that's kind of how we finished.
Yeah.
But I thought that racing lived up to exactly what it is. I hope they can find a better spot on the calendar for the race so that they can gain some more fan in person as opposed to on TV. But overall, I deem the race weekend a success. So that's just me.
Yeah, I thought it was totally fine. I can't remember who. I don't know if this was something that I read or it was one of the broadcasters on TV, but they were talking about how strong of a second half of the season Power was having, and I just sat there like dumbfounded. I was like, well, yeah, because most of the second half has been predominantly ovals where Penske has been dominating.
I'm
not shocked.
The thing is, at the end of those races, Newgarden and McLaughlin got into it with each other so much that Power, you know, got success from their failures. So.
Right. And I know Power won at Portland and, you know, and Pelo was right behind him too. But, I mean, like...
Yeah.
To say that and then not back it with any context is like, well, of course they're going to do strong. Like, this is, you know, where they've been really well for the past couple of years. So it was just a really odd comment to hear. Just like, I mean, like, have you been paying attention?
Right.
So.
All right. So we're going to move on to Nashville now in 2 weeks' time, I guess. So a quick look at our standings. Pelo leads Power by 30. Pelo leads McLaughlin by 50. He has a 63 point lead on Colton Herta. And then the only other person I would say in the top five is it's Dixon, who is he's almost 80 points behind.
Yeah, so it's just Power and McLaughlin that have a shot to catch Pelot.
Have a shot. Now, the interesting thing here is we have a Honda in first, Honda's in fourth and fifth, and a Honda in seventh. Mm-hmm. I think what we're going to probably see, I think you're going to start to see manufacturer things play here. Now, obviously, if Pelot, Power, and McLaughlin have problems, that does open the door for Colton.
To do what?
Let's say they drop out. What's the total points that you can max out at for an IndyCar race?
It's 54, but only Pelot, Power, and McLaughlin can catch Pelot. But I think McLaughlin is technically out.
Oh yeah, 54, one. Right? Yeah.
McLaughlin is technically McLaughlin's out when Pelot starts the race.
Starts the race, so it's really Power and Pelot.
Yeah, and even but even that, I still it's the gap is 33 points. Power needs to win the race, and Pelot needs to finish outside the top 10.
Dixon's definitely going to try and help Pelot.
Oh yeah,
and I think Herter is going to try, and he'll try and disrupt the other two Chevys as best as possible. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. I think that's going to come into play. So we'll see what happens. I as long as Pelot stays, consistent throughout the race, which I think he does, I think he's going to be our champion.
Yeah, I mean, and even even if McLaughlin and Newgarden play nice, and just Will's out in front, McLaughlin and Newgarden are in second and third. I mean, that's great, but that's still not enough. So
yeah, I think McLaughlin's going to need to smell the roses because he is 50 points out. So as you said, he's got to realize at some point he's going to be out of it. So
I think McLaughlin is out once Pelot takes
once the green flag falls. Yeah. All right. So if he's out, then he's got to help Power.
Yeah.
That's all he can do.
Yep.
And I hopefully he can put his ego aside and do that. But I just think the crew of the Honda teams can. I just don't know if the Penske guys can just keep their mind in it. Because honestly, if Newgarden qualifies up front, it's a home race for Joseph, mm-hmm. and he's going for the win. That doesn't help Will.
Well, the only way it does, so if Will finishes second, it's what, 33 points?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if
then Pelot would have to finish 23rd or worst.
And right. So, I'm just saying. Yeah, but I'm just saying shot. that Newgarden's got to realize. If Power's behind him and he's in a chance for the championship, mm-hmm. he's got to let Power by because Power has to win to get the championship at least.
Oh yeah,
depending on where Pelot is.
Yep.
So it really puts Pelot in the catbird's seat, and I think it also puts the other Honda guys in a spot to help them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you're going to see happen.
Yeah,
just my thoughts on that.
I mean, the way that this championship has come down, though, it is kind of a season of what could have been if Newgarden and McLaughlin
didn't get whacked. Yep. So. Yep, didn't get whacked, and they didn't have a couple incidents during the season. So,
I mean, I think the regardless of. Well, if Power wins, then this statement will go away. But I after looking at back on the season, it was really a season that Penske threw away.
Yeah, 100% agree. So. The only consistent person in there has been Power, and he had that one, he had the setback at Milwaukee. So,
well, he had the setback at Milwaukee. He had a bad race at Gateway. He the first race at Iowa was bad, and the Indy 500 didn't go great for him.
True.
So, yeah. I mean, those are one, two, three. I can't even. Even Milwaukee isn't. That's his fifth worst race. Like he did worse at Mid Ohio and Toronto. So I mean he's had other races where he's finished worse than where he finished at Milwaukee. But Milwaukee, in terms of where he was at the time, like that, yeah, they definitely threw away points there.
So. There we go. Comes down to one race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And Pelos just got to survive and keep the car on track.
Yep, that's all he does. All right. Go on to...
WC?
F1.
Oh, F1.
No, F1.
All right.
F1. All right. I thought it was – I was surprised with the winner. I don't know if I – I don't even know how – I don't even know who are my picks for.
You picked Leclerc correctly to win the race.
Oh, okay.
And then the rest was wrong. But
what did I have? I had Max
Sainz, and then your dark horse was Albon.
Oh yeah, I mean Albon, yeah, ninth. Well, I guess that was okay.
It was okay. I've been counting dark horses if they can get on the podium or you know.
Well, I mean, I got the winner right.
Oh yeah, Nate edged you out though on correct number picks.
Yeah, no, that's fine. but I, you know, the way the weekend started, you know, I just didn't picture Ferrari winning, you know?
Yeah, well, I think from listening to some of the guys when they talk to the media, especially after Monza, I think they're all kind of befuddled themselves of what's going to happen the next race. Because it was the Mercedes guys that were talking, and they were like, yeah, the Ferrari guys are so stunned that whatever they're bringing is working. So they don't walk in knowing that they're going to win. They just know that they're going to be there. But whether they have the car, it's kind of luck of the draw, but they've had it for the past couple of weekends. And then Mercedes has been there, but not, and it's been kind of a crapshoot. And Red Bull is just, McLaren definitely has the strongest consistent car, but they're just making mistakes. Like they're becoming the Ferrari strategist right now.
Yeah.
And then Red Bull is definitely at a point of, they just have no idea what is happening with the car, and they can't make a step forward.
Yeah.
It feels like whatever that they've been doing over the last couple of races has just always been a step backwards. So, yeah.
They just, I mean, they got, you know, finally got somewhat strategy fell their way, you know? Charles was there to get the win, and Carlos had a well placed fourth place finish. You know,
yeah.
I think that the biggest issue here with this race is what is McLaren's end game with their strategy?
Yeah, that's
because two things. Just real quick, not so much the fact that they were fastest two cars in qualifying. They were fast throughout practice and everything. I mean, the Mercedes were nipping at the heels too. Mm. But I think the race was there for the taking for McLaren. But the thing is, like, I'm having a hard time comprehending. This goes back to the Hungarian Grand Prix when they made Lando move over.
Yeah.
Do they realize, like, he's closing in on Max? And they're just self-sabotaging it?
You know, it's an interesting question, because, like, or a situation that they have, because in the history of F1, it's team orders has definitely been a thing that goes on, and, you know, the rule that people kind of expect at this point is, you know, you're at a critical point in the season, so even if it's one by one point, you know, whoever's leading the points within the team, that's going to be the driver you favor moving forward. Now, I don't know if Zach and the rest of them are trying to change this narrative and not have that be a thing, which, I mean, it would be interesting for sure, but it's kind of dumb at the same point. Because, I mean, clearly at this point you have the strongest car and you're running into a situation of 2007. You're both McLarens are going to be fighting each other and they're both going to lose out on the title in a very similar manner because they can't just pick a driver and go with it.
Right, and the Constructors' Championship is obviously in play, but the Drivers' Championship is in play also, and I think they need to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this, that Piastri's move around Lando was phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But at the same point, like, you know, you guys got to get it together here because they're in the running to get both, but they're throwing one away.
Well, and from perspective, I think the Drivers' Championship is more in play now than it was last week after Zandvoort, because with how far back Red Bull dropped in Monza, I think that's the more concerning thing of looking back and seeing what McLaren has been doing, and it's like, you guys really should be fighting for every point for Lando. And it's not to put anything down on Oscar, but up until this point, Lando's been getting more of the points, so, you know, just like, this is what it's going to be for this year. But back to the point of Red Bull dropping, it's like that because of how far off the pace they are, it's bringing the Drivers' Championship back into play. I mean, Red Bull is from the drivers and from the team members, like, they're all vocally worried about the Drivers' Championship now too. Like, I'm sure everyone had seen McLaren crawling back in the constructors, but the drivers, like, I don't think anyone, I think everyone had that championship pretty much wrapped up after, you know, so, round eight, but that's not the case anymore.
But now, you know, so aside from that, we can talk about it probably next week since it won't be too much on our plate here. They are moving to two street type circuits. Do you want to call it that?
Well, so the next two races are Baku and Singapore.
Right. Baku with a healthy Red Bull. Red Bull always had a good showing there. Don't know if the car in its present state would be suited to that, because it is kind of a funky track. It's high speed, and the backside is kind of twisty, narrow. So it's hard to say if it's, you know, that. Singapore has always been an Achilles heel for Red Bull. The question is, because the Red Bull is so drastically changed from where it was, is it actually now suited to run Singapore?
Yeah, it could be.
You know, I'm just kind of just throwing that out there. Just, but I'm not saying that they're playing that strategy game. I mean, that's not how they're looking at it. I mean, obviously they're trying to figure out, you know, what they can bring to make the car better. But, you know, could it be that the other cars are like the Red Bull? Red Bull never did good at Singapore because it wasn't, you know, the other, you know. Whereas these other cars are like where the Red Bull was. So does that back them up because they maybe not be good at Singapore? So.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be. I think the next two races kind of be interesting.
Yeah. No, they definitely will be.
I think Coda, if Red Bull car is back in play, then it's going to be a four manufacturers are going to be vying for the win at Coda.
Yeah. I would almost want to lean on Mercedes just because of the fact that Lewis was right on Max's tail last year.
Yeah, I want to lean on. I think I'd lean on Mercedes, and I'd also lean on probably Ferrari there.
And then, again, I would probably just say Interlagos would be Mercedes, just because they've been second team there. Mexico, I would probably have to say
probably McLaren.
But then again, Mexico is a super long straight, so
it's almost like Ferrari. It's almost like Baku.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to see.
Yeah, there's eight races remaining, and three of them are still sprint races. So the points gap for between Lando and Max is 62 points. So, I mean, as long as Lando's getting 8 points or more every weekend over Max, that's gonna be enough to seal the championship for him.
Right. But we don't, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, and
but every time you let
Oscar
finish in front of him.
Yep.
You know. So anyways. The race was just a faux pas on McLaren that gave the win to Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Max supposedly there was a power unit issue. Had he not had it, the feeling was that he probably would have caught and passed Lewis. But I mean, they're still trying to figure out what this issue is.
Yeah, but to that point on the engine power, I mean, or an engine issue. Interesting note as far as the allocation goes for all the power units components. Just about everyone is at their limit or
Max, so no pun intended.
Yeah. So I mean, well, Max and Sergio have already gone over on theirs, and they have taken grid penalties already. But I mean, against any subsequent new engines or new power unit stuff is going to have some implications on that. But this is also not just from Spa and moving onwards. Now, like, the rest of the field is in this situation too. So if any of the other guys take new internal combustion engines, MGUHs, MGUKs, like, if they take any new ones, it's going to be a grid penalty for them. So, like, yeah, these last eight races aren't going to be totally straightforward either, because there's going to be some penalties applied. The question is just when and where.
Right.
So it's becoming interesting just because of the possibility of this championship coming down really close. The other thing to note too, the Constructors' Championship, if Ferrari have another weekend like this, they could also be in this conversation for the for the Constructors' titles, because they're only 30 points or something like that behind McLaren, and McLaren's closing in on.
Just kind of looking at the points right now. You know, Max has got a 62-point lead on Lando. Lando's got 24 on Leclerc. And then he's got 20 on Piastri. Carlos is at 13, is 13 behind Sainz. With Lewis kind of clawing back in at 164, so he's about 20 behind Carlos. So anyway, so that it's tightening. So we'll see what happens on the team front. It's definitely tightening. We're down to an 8-point gap. Yep. You know, it's tough. It's two cars versus one. So.
We'll see if they change anything around. I mean, it's Baku, so Sergio is supposed to be good at this track.
Yep.
All right. Just a couple other notes from the weekend. F2 had a very interesting feature where let me get his where'd it go? Now I gotta really scroll. That's the wrong page. Hold on, checking. Gabriel Bortoleto won the F2 race from last place.
Oh, okay. Was that the feature race?
The feature race, yes.
Yeah.
There was a caution that came out in the middle of the race that helped him forward. So he pit under the yellow and got it through there. But up until that point, he had to make passes to get into that position. So,
right.
Props to him. And then in Formula 3, the championship got ramped up this weekend as well, as Monza was the last race of the season for them. And on track, the championship was decided in the last corner of the last lap. Leonardo Fornaroli, he sent the guard down the inside of the entrance of Parabolica and got the move done on Christian Mansell and walked away and finished in the points there. Finished third on the podium there. And Gabriel Mini finished second, but then in a post-race tech, he ended up getting disqualified, I think, for a floor issue. So the points gap looks bigger than it is because of that. But, I mean, the fact of the matter of it is Leo was able to do it on track in a very very outstanding fashion. So.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. And then I guess before we move on to F1, Kimi Antonelli gets announced as Mercedes driver for next year.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, I got no problem with the young guys coming in and replacing kind of the older guard. And I know speculation will come around to him like it came around to Verstappen, so I think time will tell with him. I'm not hating on the kid, but I just don't think he's as ready. I think if he has another year in F2, I think he'd be fine. But that's my stance on it. But I hope he proves me wrong, because it'd be nice to see that. But who knows? You might also get a bad car out of the gate. Who knows?
We shall see.
With that said, there's only two seats up for grabs, barring any contracts that get thrown out. So we still have the Toro Rosso or Racing Bulls, V-Car, whatever you want to call them, seat that's up for grabs. The rumor is, or the way people seem to be going about it, is that Lawson will be in and Ricciardo will be out. Considering Red Bull's supposedly promised Lawson a seat in Red Bull in 25, and then the only other seat that we're waiting on confirmation for is the Sauber/Audi seat.
Right.
Alongside Hülkenberg. So, yeah.
A lot of stuff there. Mm-hmm. All right. So, on to Baku. The last of our major league racing events was the 6 hours of COTA, the Lone Star Le Mans. I returned to COTA in first time in 4 years. And we had a surprise winner. As the factory cars of Toyota, Porsche, and Ferrari tripped all over themselves. And we had AF Corsa take the win.
Yeah, congrats to AF Corsa. That was,
and they were fast throughout the weekend too. This wasn't a fluke. But
no.
The other guys, I don't know what they were doing. The Toyota guys were all over the place playing hardball with everybody. The Porsche guys were behind the eight ball all weekend. And the Ferraris just tripped over themselves, the factory team.
Of course, number 83 put on the front row of qualifying and just ran their pace and ran a clean race. I mean, that was the great thing about the win, is that they did it their way and let everyone else make mistakes. The Toyota had, or number 7 Toyota just had some really dumb penalties that came their way. And it was really no excuse, and it was just fault on the drivers being too ambitious and trying to go fast when all they needed to do was just take their foot off through a couple yellow flag zones, and instead of, you know, losing half a second on track, they ended up losing, you know, over 30 seconds at the pits. So,
yeah.
There were a couple of penalties that I was a little surprised about. Mainly there was two incidents that were, one was a 5 and the other one was a 10-second penalty. And I just, it was interesting watching the difference between IMSA and WEC, where WEC just seems like they have a zero tolerance for any kind of contact. Because the first incident was the, both incidents involved the number 8 Toyota, I believe. Where the first one was that they basically brushed across the nose of the Lexus GT3 car, and they didn't, like, hip check him off the track, but, like, you know, moved over and, like, clearly touched them and moved the Lexus offline. And that warranted a 5-second penalty, and I was like, that's just, I don't think I've really seen that in IMSA. Where you just kind of bang doors a little bit and, you know, you're both going on your way. But, yeah, it was just close quarters at that point. But then the other incident was the number 8 Toyota literally trying to drive the Porsche Penske into the guardrail on the back straight. They just, like, the Penske car had momentum coming up the inside, and the number 8 was just driving him into the grass. And then while the Penske car was clearly there on the number 8 Toyota's inside, the Toyota then further moved over further. And both cars again were fine and were able to continue to drive on, but it was just really piss poor driving standards from their end. But I guess my point is just, like, I've seen door rubbing like that in IMSA, and, you know, it's kind of just have at it, and if you keep playing like that, you're going to end your own race eventually. So it was just interesting to see the time penalties get handed down, and, like, very quickly, too. And not just, like, you know, waiting around or whatever. Like, once they saw it, like, they just dished it out right away, pretty much. But yeah, that's all I had. Otherwise, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congrats to
Robert Kubica,
Yiffy Yee, and Robert Schwartzman.
Yeah. In GT, LMGT, I don't even know what to call it.
Just GT3.
The Harder Racing Team, mm-hmm. Aston Martin took the win.
Yeah.
Followed by the Manti Porsche, and then, Porsches.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, no.
Oh, it is.
You're right.
Yeah, both courses. Yep. So, congrats to them.
Yeah.
The
Manti Porsche is just continuing their dominance of this championship. It is just not even close. I mean, like, what is it? I believe it's the number 92 that's been having the good luck of Klaus Backler, Alex McKillen, and Joel Sturm. That car's race-by-race stats are just insane. A win, third place, second place. They finished 10th at Le Mans. That was their worst one. And they won at Interlagos and then finished second here at COTA.
Right.
And then as far as the other Manti Porsche, I mean, they're still second in the points, but the first two races just didn't go their way at all. But then they rebounded with back-to-back wins at Spa and Le Mans. A bad result at Interlagos, but then a third place here at COTA.
And the Harder Racing is a home win for the Harder Racing, as they are a U.S.-based team.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to them. And they will be moving on next year to take on the Aston Martin Valkyrie program.
Yes.
So look forward to that. Congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks' time, they'll be at Fuji.
Yes.
So the season is beginning to draw to an end. So
yeah.
So unfortunately, but that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Two more races.
Just a couple things from the race. I take away the BMWs. We're much more competitive here,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Lamborghini. Even the qualifying for the Lamborghini was awful, but in the race, they vaulted to the top 10 from like 18th.
Yeah, and so, the another one that was kind of quiet, but the Alpine.
The Alpine was good. The Peugeots had no luck. They just got hit.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment on them, but yes, I would say the Alpines had a quiet but effective race as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Cadillac had damage early in the race and never rebounded from it. So,
It looked like they were coming back for a little bit, but just obviously not enough.
They didn't have. They claim they didn't have enough time to make an effective nose change, which I don't know.
I think their issue is still they're running one car and not two.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
So,
but that will change next year.
Yep, which, thankfully.
As they say, thankfully. All right. So that wraps up that. And that wraps up the racing part of the show.
Yeah.
Just kind of going through. Yeah, we talked about Kimi Antonelli getting the the ride. Linus Lindquist is your IndyCar Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
So, just so you know. Just trying to see if there's any other driver news. The latest on Adrian Newey is it looks like he's going to Aston Martin.
That means Fernando's going to win the driver's title next year. Thank God.
Right.
Maybe next year. Maybe 26. That would be fun to watch.
Yep, that would be fun to watch. Kevin Magnussen will be sitting out Baku.
Oh yeah,
because of an accumulation of points. We still do not know who will be in the car.
No.
It's assumed to be Ollie Bearman, but Ferrari has not released him to do so.
Yeah.
So that really puts into play, if it's not Bearman, then it's Pietro Fittipaldi.
But does he have driving duties that same weekend in IndyCar? I mean, the races are on the same weekend.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That. So it's just whether Pietro's contracted for that race in Nashville
or not. I think the Nashville race takes precedence.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate to say it.
We'll see how it plays out, but that's
Maybe Logan Sargeant get a ride.
Maybe.
I think that's it for news.
Yeah. I guess. On a side note, congrats to Colapinto for a clean weekend. Got positions throughout the race and move forward. So.
Finished 12th.
Yeah, I don't know if that's this is a good sign for them or not, but.
If he finished in the points, I would say that might, okay, but I'm still, jury's out, but car didn't get crashed, so.
I was going to say if he doesn't score points throughout the end of the year, if he just keeps the car clean, I think that'll be a positive for them going into the winter.
That is true.
So, yeah, I got nothing else.
All right. So, on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.